Right. How y'all doing, church? Y'all doing good? Come on, let's give God a great big hand. So good to be with you today. Awesome. How many of you have a cell phone?
Yeah, I got one.
It's okay to admit that, right? How many of y'all appreciate caller ID? How many of y'all appreciate that there's this thing called caller ID? And how many of y'all, when you see a certain person call, you don't answer it?
Sometimes.
How many of you immediately, you had a picture of somebody in your mind right there? Come on. You go, right? Am I right? But other people's like, yeah. How many of y'all remember before caller ID? Yeah. How many of y'all remember those phones that used to be attached to a wall? You could only go so far. I see those hands. Very good. Good deal. But you know, we get spoiled in today's day and age with caller ID. We really, really do. We get spoiled in the sense of who's calling and what's calling. But let me ask you a question. If you looked at your phone and you saw it was God calling, how many of you would be like, Come on, how many of you be like, I don't know what he wants, but it's going to be a lot. Am I right? Or how many of you be like, it's Dad. Dad must have something really good for me. Now, how many of you are in the camp of, raise your hand, be on, tell the truth, shame the devil. And how many of you are like, yeah, let's talk. Okay, very, very good. See, I believe that God has your number. And I believe God is calling you today. I believe everybody in this room today is receiving a call from God today. The question is, are you going to answer? The question is, are you going to respond to the call of God that he has on your life? Or are you just going to allow it to go to voicemail? And we all know you don't listen to voicemail. That's the question of today. And that is the question of, are we going to... I don't know what, I did not plan that, just for the record, but it was right on time. Come on. Very good. Whoever that is, God's calling, answer it. That was perfect. Come on. Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to go through about 8-9 verses today. We have a lot to cover. Are you ready for the Word of God today? Come on, are you ready for the Word of God today? The Word of God is what changes us. The Word of God is what transforms us. So Isaiah 6, 1, it was in the year of King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And attending him were mighty seraphim, each having 6 wings. 2 wings they covered their face, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. That's crazy. I want you to go to school or work tomorrow and say, I've seen the seraphim. Okay, just a thought. Okay, let's keep reading here. Verse 3. And they were calling out to each other. And they were calling out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Isaiah, at this moment here, he looked into heaven. Now, how many of you can honestly say you've looked into heaven and you've seen heaven? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but there's not a lot of us here we can say, I've actually looked into heaven and seen it. Because if you look into heaven, it's pretty awesome. And there's this holy, 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 set apart, like holy, consecrated. That's what heaven's like. That's what God's like. We were singing a song, worthy, worthy today. Worthy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Come on, that's awesome. What we were simply doing, we were joining what's going on up in heaven. So if you joined in with worthy, worthy, and holy, holy, you were joining in with heaven. If you were standing back and waiting, you were observing heaven from afar. But there's holy, Adonai, the Lord, the Supreme Master. The most important thing of this text today is the first statement of those who have received a call from God. I saw the Lord. Let's say that together. I saw the Lord. This is the most important thing. When you see him, it's magnificent. It is awesome. Don't get hung up on the two wings of this and the two wings of that and the holy, holy and all these things. Listen, when you see him, it's spectacular. See, we've gotten focused sometimes on performance, but we miss the presence and the power of God. When you see him, it's a love relationship. More than anything else God wants, he wants a love relationship with you and me. He's looking, he's longing for this relationship, not just a transactional time, but a relationship here. To see him, you know him and you experience him. He loves you and you love him. Listen, this is what it's all about. Now, I'm not bragging. But you know when somebody says I'm not bragging, what are they doing?
Bragging.
So I'm bragging. But if you were to look into heaven right now over God's shoulder into the kitchen, this is what you would see right here. You would see my picture on God's refrigerator right there. Right there. That's my picture. That's God's refrigerator right there. Come on, that's me right there. And God looks at that every day. He says, that's my son. And I know what you're thinking. Where's your picture? On the freezer. I want to let you know, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, your picture's on there too. And he loves you. And this is his love. I've seen him and I know him. This isn't an intellectual, cerebral information pursuit. This is a pursuit of a relationship with a living God. That's what this is. And that's the first thing. If we're going to be called of God to anything, it's because we've seen him and we know him. Yeah. And there's nothing I could do that would make Dad go up in heaven and pull that picture and throw it down. Oh, I mess up and I screw up here and there. But God doesn't say, ah, jeez, whose kid is that? You know, like your parents did over you. Yeah, anybody that's a parent knows that one. Look at Natalie, and I says, your kids. Right? God doesn't do that. He doesn't disown us. He loves you, and he wants the best for you. Let me try to explain it. In John chapter 14, 21, Jesus' words. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who
love me.
Yeah, see, it's a love relationship. We get focused on obedience. God's focused on a love relationship. Are you seeing that? Yeah, and not only they love me, because they love me, my Father will love them. Isn't that awesome? I love him, and he loves me back, and it's this relationship we have. Come on, and I will love them and reveal myself. And reveal means to cause to shine, to make known, to declare. God wants to reveal himself to you and to me. But not just so that we can have Holy Ghost goosebumps and have really cool church services. He wants to reveal himself so this lost and dying world, this chaotic place that we live in, can find Jesus. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what this is about. So don't focus on the commandments and the obedience. Focus on the love. This is who he reveals. You see, when you look into heaven and you experience him, it's like almost like something you can't explain. Like, I remember being, years ago, I was with my son. We just happened to be at the Grand Canyon. We were going to the Grand Canyon, but we didn't plan to be there at a certain time. But we were there at sunset.
Yeah.
And we walked out a very narrow path, thousands of feet down, very narrow path. And we climbed up into these rocks. You had to literally climb up in, and we sat at the top. And it was the most spectacular thing on the planet that I can tell you about. I mean, it was just spectacular. But you know what? My words aren't doing it justice. You had to be there. Have you ever been trying to tell somebody a story? It's like, yeah, I mean, I guess you just had to be there. You see, it's just you had to be there. I mean, I remember the day Natalie and I got married at our North Braddock facility, and we were in part of this church, and I stood there, and I watched her come down the aisle, and it was just the most beautiful, spectacular thing that I've ever seen, better than the Grand Canyon sunset. It was spectacular. And I can tell you what she was wearing. I can tell you the information. But that experience is in my head forever. See, that's when you meet Jesus. That's that moment you met him. And may we never lose that moment we met him. May we never lose the excitement that he loves me and I love him and I'm in a relationship with him. I saw the Lord call. I saw him. Are you ready? Let's keep going. Verse 4, their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, it's over. I'm doomed, for I'm a sinful man, and I have filthy lips. I live among the people with filthy lips. Yet I seen the King, the Lord of the heaven's armies. How do you know that you've seen God? Your next statement is, I'm doomed. No, really, that's how you know you've seen God. It's like, oh, man, he called. And I'm face to face that I have unclean parts of me. My lips are unclean. And I'm not right with God. That's how you know see, Isaiah saw God, and his first response wasn't, look at me. I saw God. His first response was confession of sin. That's how you know you've seen God. That's how you know you've experienced God. And you know what? Even after all these years of serving God, just like the day that I met him and I confessed my sin to him, I still confess my sin to him and say, God, I'm unclean, I'm doomed, I'm ruined. And really what that word literally means, I cry out to God, I need you. Let's never see those people who are called by God keep saying, God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I'm doomed. Left to myself, I'm ruined. I'm undone. I'm doomed. Come on, are you with me? Do you know the God I know? Come on. That's the second response of the called here. That's what he says to us here. And then verse 6. And then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. And he touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. And see, God knew Isaiah had unclean parts of his life, but he still called him anyhow. See, we sang a song earlier. Don't wait. It's not about perfection. If it's about perfection, count me out. I lose. But it's about a relationship with a living God. Are you there? See, that's it. I'm doomed. But God says, listen, I'll bring grace to the place you need me the most. And God wants to bring grace to your life. Grace is what he provides to empowers us with so we can accomplish his calling. God's calling, church. God's calling us. He's saying, hey, Bridge City, are you there? Just say, I'm doomed. Because that's the right response. See? It's a difference in mindset here. But here, it's like he's listening to hear. I don't measure up, but everywhere in the Bible where Jesus shows up, Luke chapter 5, Jesus helps him catch fish. He can't do it on his own. And his immediate response, he bows down, I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful. Let's never lose touch with, yes, I'm sinful, but God is holy. And because of him, I am righteous. I'm not trying to please him. Because of Jesus, he is pleased. And I'm here as a response to that love of Jesus. Come on, somebody. See, that's it. That's this call of God here. He cleanses who he calls here. Now the two most important days of your life, the day you're born and the day you realize why. I know why God has put me on this planet. It's to honor him and worship him. It's to be in relationship with him. It's for eternal life. But John 17:3 says that this is eternal life, that you may know the one true God. So he's created me for a relationship with him. Oh, yeah, I happen to pastor. Just like, oh, yeah, you may be an engineer, or you may work in a hospital, or you may be a laborer somewhere, or a carpenter, or whatever it is. Oh, yeah, you do that. But God's created us for worship, to honor him. That's what he's created you and me for. That's the joy of this. And then verse 8, and then I heard the Lord. See, first Isaiah, check this out. First Isaiah goes from I seen the Lord, I seen him, and then like, oh my gosh, I'm doomed. I'm ruined. That's the second. But here it is, I heard the Lord say, whom shall I send? Whom will I send as a messenger to White Oak, McKeesport High School, Norwin High School, North Versailles. Who will I send into McKeesport, into North Huntington, and Elizabeth, and the uttermost parts of the earth around there? Who am I going to send? Who's going to be my messenger? Who will go for us? Like God's up in heaven having a conversation. First, Isaiah looks into heaven, and now he overhears heaven. Have you ever overheard heaven? I've never overheard like a conversation going on in heaven. Isaiah hears, he overhears something. He's just listening and God's speaking like, I'm looking for somebody to send. And Isaiah says, here I am, send me. Here I am. This is the third statement of the called. Here I am. Send me. Send me. I want to point out something. Isaiah didn't even know what he was saying yes to, and he still said yes. Many of us in this room, we want a full contract from God first. Am I right? I mean, when it comes to God, it's like, I don't know. I mean, Pastor Nick invited, you overheard an invitation today. You overheard him say, there's an invitation. If you would like to learn how to serve, you'd like to learn about opportunities, it's only going to take about 15 minutes of your life downstairs. You overheard that. Are you going to respond to the call or not? But you're like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be put to serve with somebody that I don't even want to talk on the phone with. You see, we do this with God. We play games with the contract with God. Oh, I don't want to give 10%. I don't want to be generous with my money because I don't know what will happen. And we want a contract with God. But when it comes to the downloading an app or getting a service on your computer, you don't read all those terms of service. You scroll to the bottom and you say, accept. Tell the truth. Come on, you scroll to the bottom and you hit accept. We accept everything else in life except for the promises of God. See, everything else is just accept, 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 but God, You overheard that we have groups and we have small groups. We have 20 small groups. Well, I'm going to tell you this next year, you're not over here. I'm inviting you right now. Pastor Nick said, I heard him. He preached it. There's going to be 40 and then there's going to be 50. And you, many people here, this is it. You see, you're, well, nobody asked me. You overheard an invitation.
Right, that's good.
You see, everybody's like, well, nobody asked me. I'm not worth it. You overheard. You're in the room. Are you there now? You see, but no, that can't accept that contract. See, are you seeing that? We say yes to God before he even reveals to us anything here. See, Isaiah saw the Lord, experienced the Lord's glory, and he overheard the invitation. You see, typically when you see God and you're, I'm doomed, and then you say, I heard God, it comes with an invitation. That's how you know you have the glory of God. People say, well, I just want to see God. I want the glory of God. I want the glory of God. I want the glory. Do you really? No, do you really? Because everywhere he shows up, the first thing he has to calm people down because they get scared. But we say yes before we even know. See, when you meet Jesus Christ, you meet him, you say yes to him, you ask him to be the forgiver of your past, the leader to your future, and then you spend the rest of your life figuring out what just happened. The rest of your life. I've been figuring out 40 years plus trying to figure out what happened on that day I said yes to Jesus.
Yes.
And I'm uncovering who he is. Come on, are you with me?
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. Okay, I mean, it's just like marriage. You get all dressed up, you go to the church, you commit your lives to one another, and then you spend the rest of your life trying to figure out what just happened in that moment. Come on, somebody. Amen. Are you still with me? Come on, somebody. Okay. Come on, that's what you do. It's the same. But it's still a covenant relationship that I'm all in. That I'm irritated, inconvenienced, and interrupted, but doing it with great joy. Awesome. See, I just offered my whole life to Jesus. How about you? Are you with me? Okay, so here's the three statements of the called. Three statements of the called. First of all, as I saw the Lord, I'm doomed, I'm ruined, and then here am I, here am I. If you're here today and you're just saying, you know what, I've been here, whether you've been here 40 years as a church or 2 years or 2 months or 2 days, your first time, but you're looking and saying, you know what, hey God, here am I, send me. That's all you're saying, here am I, send me. Just stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you right now. Just if that, all you're saying to God is, here am I. You're not committing to anything. You're not committing to serve. You're not committing to go on a mission trip yet. You're not committing to do any of these things. All you're saying is, here am I. God, we're standing right now on our feet. We're standing right here. I pray for every person on our feet. You see him, God. You see him. Lord God, here we are. Lord God, change us, mold us, transform us, make us more like you. Lord God, just do something with our lives, Lord God, the way you see fit. Not the way I want, but the way you want.
Yes.
And so right now, if you're here today, and you don't have a moment, a time, a day where Jesus Christ became the forgiver of your past and leader to your future, I want to offer you that today. I want to offer you that relationship. I want to offer you that I've seen God. I've experienced him. And you can say yes to him, saying, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I'm doomed. But Lord, lead me to my future. If you do not have that relationship and you never prayed that prayer, we want to offer you that prayer today. We want to offer you that this moment today, right here in this time. And if that's you, joyfully, I just want you right now, just right where you are, just to lift up your hand right where you are. Just lift up your hand. Thank you very much. Come on, lift up your hand. Lift up your hands. Come on, keep it up there. Keep it up there. Keep it up there. Come on, keep it up. Why not? Come on. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Now, this is what we want you to do. Because we honor and value you who raised your hand. We honor and value people. We don't want to treat you like a number. We want somebody to pray for you. And so I'm not going to call you up front and up on the stage. But if you raised your hand, would you just right now, would you just slip out of your seats and make your way to the back? Just right now. Go ahead. Somebody's going to meet you back there, and they're going to pray for you. Would you just go ahead and just walk back? They're nice people. I'll vouch for them. Come on. Just go ahead back. Go ahead back. Come on. Let's give them all a big hand. Just go ahead back. They're just going to say, hey. They just want to pray for you. That's all they want to do. Come on. Go ahead back. Come on. There's more people. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody else want him? They're going to meet you at the back. Come on, somebody. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Thank God. Okay, now are you ready? I got some more for you. Now I want to tell you what we're going to get into here. We're going to get into, hallelujah, hallelujah, the annual report, what happened last year, right here. You can use this QR code here, or in the back of your seats right there, there's a tap card right there. You put your phone to it. Just put your phone up to that tap card. Get your phones out. You can stop texting people and checking email. Only look at the annual report. Hold it up there, and when it comes up, you're going to click, and there's going to be a blue. It's blue, and it says annual report. You click on that annual report. Everybody here gets an annual report. We're going to brag about how great God is. We have nothing to hide. I'm going to show you money because I'm going to tell you how great God is, but I'm also going to tell you some brutal reality. Are you with me? So you can be your first time here. You can look at all the numbers. Ask questions. See it. Go ahead. I know I want you to look at it. It's also on our website here. So now we're going to look at some things when it comes to our annual report. Why do we do this on a Sunday? Because we want you to see how great God is. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. This isn't about numbers. This is about people. I don't know if you know, these aren't there. I'm just going to rattle off some things. Last year, we had 33 people here at the White Oak campus that went on short-term missions trips. Yeah. I think that's pretty cool. Come on, somebody. We had 57 people actually show up, and 57 people did the Pittsburgh missions trip. That means they took the 2 full days and served people right here in the community. I think that's pretty cool. Come on. Yeah. You see? Yeah, I mean, we've been seeing some pretty incredible things. Last year, we saw, we had this thing called Victory and Freedom Weekend, and you don't have this one either. I know I'm throwing you a lot of curveballs. Sorry about that. And we had 63 people from right here at Bridge City Church, White Oak, attend what we call Victory and Freedom. That means they got victory over their past, freedom to live in their future. I think that's, see, we're going to celebrate transformed lives. We're going to celebrate people getting free. 40 of those, for the first time, got introduced to the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is. See, we're going to celebrate that. You see what we're celebrating? Are you tracking here? See, we're not celebrating money, we're celebrating people's lives. We're going to celebrate people joyfully serving God and honoring Him, knowing Him. Now I want to show you the salvations. How many people responded to the gospel of Jesus? At Bridge City Church last year, there was 251 people across the bridge. We call it cross the bridge. I think that's a big deal. That means, when I say this, that means we have names and numbers. These are real people. This is not evangelistic. This is real. We don't make up names. We don't think about, no, it's people we know who we've prayed for. Just like those people who went back, they got prayed for right now. Yes. They're real people. We honor that. You with me? But at White Oak here, look at this, 145 people. Come on, somebody. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Do you have an attendance one? Yeah, there we go. Thank you. 781 average attendance right here. Or as a whole church, 430 last year at White Oak here. I think that's pretty good. But I want you to catch this. Since Pastor Nick had faith and he led you in a great, awesome way, he and Rachel and the leaders here, they led you in a great way. We're averaging 100 more on a weekly basis since September. I'm sorry. I think that's pretty cool. See, we're cheering on because that's more people to experience Jesus. Are you with me? Yes. Yeah. See, I saw the Lord. I'm doomed. I can't do this. But I said, here am I. Send me. I've overheard heaven. Have you? He's inviting us here. So that's what we're celebrating here. Baptisms. Baptisms last year. 96 as a church. 59 here at White Oak. Come on. And then next week, there's going to be water baptism, identifying with Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord of your life, the forgiver of your past and leader of your life. See, we're going to celebrate that. But we're also going to celebrate this next year, how many people are going to learn how to be part of the prayer team and lay hands on people. See, what I'm telling you is it's not going to be just about people. It's going to be training and equipping people according to what God has asked us to do. The stories, even my wife Natalie and I, we're leading a group right now, and the stories we're hearing about people's lives and about being changed and transformed, we're overwhelmed. We left group last week, and we're like, I can't believe God allows us to be here. I have tears in my eyes when I think about being with you. I really do, because it's so awesome. But God's not done. I saw the Lord, and yes, I'm doomed. I'm ruined for the ordinary, and I want you to be ruined for the ordinary. Amen. But I want to see Him, and I want to hear Him, and I want to respond to Him. So this next year, we're going to provide more opportunities to be on missions. We're going to provide more opportunities to hear God, provide more opportunities to be equipped. Are you with me? See, that's what we're doing. That's what we want to be a part of. Now I want you to show you real quick about kingdom builders, which is what we call missions giving. That means all this money goes outside the church. Locally, globally, and next generation. Look at this. This is how much we received as a church, $184,699. Come on. That's over and above. Total cent. Now, why is that lower? I'm going to tell you why. Because you blew our minds this last year. We were hoping for like $30,000, and we got $87,000 for one offering. And that was the free people in Pakistan that are slaves. No, they're literally slaves. They get up every day and make bricks. They don't even have a home. Don't even have a roof over their head. So they regularly torture Christians if they're in the camp. And we wanted to free 10 families. We're on pace to free 26. Come on. Already the last couple weeks, my brother Gary, who's our missions pastor, is actually in Pakistan right now. He's showing me pictures of families that they literally stand there. They can't believe they're free. They literally are standing there like they don't know how to leave the camp. They have their own apartment for the first time. Kids are, for the first time in their life, not going to have to get up and make bricks in the mud all day. You know why? Because that doesn't happen by accident. That happens because people are living intentionally on purpose with the grace and the peace of God on their lives. See, that happened because of you. See, I want to brag about that. And we built 6 houses in Honduras. And locally, we're doing all this stuff. And there's a school in Liberia I saw with my own eyes last May. Kids going to school, mainly from Muslim communities, getting converted to Christ. I think that's a big deal. I saw it with my own eyes. You gave to help keep that school open. We started a pastor school that's training up pastors that are training up more pastors, which training up more pastors. Are you with me? Amen. Churches are being planted because of you. Amen. You know what we're going to do? We're going to keep doing it.
Come on.
That's what we're going to do. I'm just trying to give you a picture. Okay, real quick. We got this income statement here. You say, wow, that's a lot of money, Pastor. Thank you. That's how many tithes and offerings. This is all in your report. You can read every dollar. You have questions? Send us a note. Then here's the expenses. The expenses are right here. We show you in your report all the expenses. They're all there. All the income, all the expenses, all for you. You can look at them. We're an open book. I want to tell you this, though. We give over 10% of what comes in. We make sure every year, over 10% of what comes in, we give out. Because I'm not going to ask you to do something we don't do. And it goes outside the organization. That's not for us. That's outside. Now, giving. Giving this past year. White Oak now. Now, stay with me here. In 2024, we had this number. 2025, this. Now, don't clap. We saw this 3% increase. Say, praise God. I'd rather have a 3% increase than a 3% decrease. Right. But the fact is, that doesn't even keep up with inflation. No, let's face it. Inflation's higher than that. Do you live in the same world? Do you go shopping? So we're not even keeping up with inflation, but we added 100 people. So what am I saying here am I to giving sacrificially and joyfully? Getting disciplined, fighting my fear, learning to give. So I'm inviting you into a faith relationship of giving financially. Just think how much more we could do if we had double what we have coming in. And it's not about numbers. It's about names. There's people in this room today that responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do you put a number on that? How do you put that in? But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to be very honest with you. The giving level here at White Oak is half of the national average of what giving is. Half. I don't know about you. I never dreamed about being average. I definitely never dreamed about being below average. I did that all by myself, flunking out of the 9th grade. Yeah, it was a miracle of God I got through. That's the only time in my life average was ever a goal. But I don't like flunking, and I don't like being below average. I'm inviting you, when you say, here am I, I'm inviting you into a faith relationship. I'm inviting you into a relationship of faith. I'm inviting you into a relationship where you see God and you call him at his word and you see him. So I want to see Pastor Nick and Rachel cared for. I want to see the other staff members here there's many of them in the room here that aren't cared for to the degree that they could be. I want to see them blessed. I don't want to say, well, you work for the church, you should be happy with what you got. No, is that what you want?
No.
But so I'm inviting you into faith. Let your faith be built in God. Let your faith be seen in what God wants to do. So here's the 3 initiatives right here. Pastor Nick, make your way up here. Here's the 3 initiatives right here that we're going to do this year on top of everything else I just explained to you. Did you hear God? Did you hear God? Did you see him today? Did you hear him today? Are you feeling a little undone and doomed? Okay, you're in the right place. Generosity, we're going to increase. Because you know what? We couldn't afford a building right now. We couldn't afford a building. But we're going to. We're going to by a capital campaign. We're going to do this. Discipleship pathway. Good. That means when you cross the bridge, when you commit your life to Christ, we're going to get booklets in your hands. We're going to get somebody to follow you in your hands. Right now, we have 27 people in this location being discipled on a regular basis. I want that to go to 54. Then I want it to go to 108. I want that to double and double and triple and double and double again, because disciples are what we're making. Come on, a little louder. So we're going to get this pathway. Then the leadership pipeline, Pastor Nick already said, the leadership pipeline, we're going to get more group leaders to care for people. We're going to get our students to camp. We're going to get our students to the camp this year. You know who's going to pay for it? No, I'm serious. We got to invest in the next generation. Are you with me? That's what we're going to do. So when you say, here I am, I told you what we're going to do this year. We're going to do those three things that we said there, and you're going to find out how they work, and it's going to be great. You're going to love it. You're all awesome. Thanks for being so great, Pastor.